The American century has become the American crisis, and that happened in just 25 years. That's the theme of David Halberstam's latest book called The Reckoning. It's the story of the Ford Motor Company and the story of Nissan, a Japanese car maker since the late 1930s. It is now a very successful importer to the U.S. Basically, Halberstam believes the American automobile industry, Detroit, since the Second World War, became a shared de facto monopoly, failing to listen to Congress, failing to notice Japan, and mostly failing, he says, because the car companies came under the control of the financial people rather than the car people. David Halberstam talks with us now about one very important year in all of this, 1964, and about several important people, beginning with Yutaka Katayama of Nissan.
Katayama, who was a kind of exuberant, somewhat aristocratic man, was very frustrated. At home in Tokyo, there seemed to be no place for him in the company. He loved making cars. He was on the wrong side politically, and that's a very political company. And so he was almost exiled to America on the assumption that selling cars in America would be a sure place. If you wanted someone to fail, that's what you would do. And he came here, and he loved America. I mean, he was more at home, oddly enough, in America than he was in Japan. And in the beginning, he would almost, sell cars hand by hand. He would go to the Japanese gardeners in Los Angeles and sell these little pickup trucks, and he found these, almost used car dealers whom he convinced to be Nissan dealers, and he would handily drive the cars down to their lots, and he got to know the business, and it just begins to surface in 64. That's a very important demarcation point, 1964.
You mentioned the pickup trucks they were trying to sell on the West Coast. It is funny, the correspondence back and forth between the West Coast and Tokyo, that the Japanese in Tokyo don't believe that Americans should be riding in pickup trucks as passenger vehicles and refuse to accommodate some design changes.
Well, factories in those days were not very technologically advanced. I mean, they had this wonderful workforce, and they had this enormous ambition and this willingness to pay a high price, but their cars were very primitive, really like American cars in the 30s. But the truck they were building was like a small tank, and it was very inexpensive, and they started selling it on the West Coast. And for the first couple of years, the little truck was what carried the company. I mean, that's where they made their inroads. And Katayama kept saying, you don't understand, to the Home Office, you don't understand Americans. They drive the truck. I mean, pickup truck, that's a car for them. I mean, they'll work in it, and they'll play in it. They'll go to the bank in it. They'll go to a drive-in movie in it. Can we put in some air conditioner? Can we make it more comfortable? Can we put in a radio? And Tokyo kept saying, no, it should not be used for those things. We want the Americans just to drive it as a truck. And, Katayama just had a feeling that they were losing all these sales. He mostly did not win the battle on the truck, but he won a lot of other battles.
Talking about 64, just about the time the Japanese car workers had begun to be able to afford the Japanese car, and much earlier in your book, writing about the original Henry Ford, you talk about the time that Ford decided to pay his employees $5 a day as being an incredibly revolutionary time in American labor history.
I think that he revolutionized the economy and the idea of the worker as the consumer. I mean, if there is a thing called the American century, it is also a thing called the oil century. The two are the same. And the coming of the first Henry Ford with the Model T at the very beginning of the century, at the very same time when you have these huge oil gushers down in the Southwest at Spindletop, which supplies the inexpensive energy. You begin to get the oil culture, and then very quickly you have small gas engines, and you have items which are consumer items. What Henry Ford did was bring mass production and finally create a cycle in which, for the first time in the industrial world, the worker was also a consumer. And when he paid for the first time $5 a day, everybody else in the industrial sector jumped on his back, and said he was ruining this. This would, cause all kinds of social chaos, that workers couldn't handle that much money. But he was very skillfully creating this cycle, and he knew that he could build this many cars, but there's no sense in building them if people couldn't buy them, and the worker became the consumer.
Let me ask you for an explanation of this man. His name is Katsundo Kohamu. That is a Japanese name,
yeah.
Taken by An American.
Yes. His name, well, that means William the Conqueror, I believe, in rough translation. His real name, he was born, I suppose, well in the other century, is a man named William Regan Gorham. And he was a wonderful tinkerer, that the kind that we were producing in the very beginning of the 20th century, men who just loved in this moment of explosion of machinery. He was like a Henry Ford who came along a few years after Ford. In fact, the original Henry Ford was his god. And he invented everything. He could do almost anything. And frustrated in America because there seemed to be no place for him, he went over to Japan to design airplanes during World War I, loved it there, became kind of a sort of industrial or mechanical missionary there, and he would invent motorized little vehicles. He invented diesel engines, airplanes, and finally, he really was, in all respects, the inventor of the first Datsun car. I mean, intriguing thing that this American, because the Japanese are so good at absorbing other people's knowledge, he invented the first Datsun. He came to love Japan. I mean, for him, it was a country loved many of the value systems of it, the respect for work, the cleanliness, whatever, of the country, and he was honored there. He was never interested in making very much money. As World War II began to approach, he became very melancholy because he saw his adopted country and his native country about to go to war. He argued, without very much success, on both sides, in ways that would sort of cut off the growing confrontation. And on the very eve, he took up Japanese citizenship, this name, and told his then college-age sons to go back to America before it was too late. And he is buried there. It is an extraordinary life.
David Halberstam, his book is called The Reckoning.